We mentioned tonight the normal quarterly business meeting that we have, and it will be extremely short tonight. If you'd like to look over the financial statement, of course, this is for members only. They're right outside the main office here in the holder, so you are welcome to get one of those tonight or this afternoon after we have the service. I want you to take your Bible, and I'd like you to turn with me this morning to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. It was mentioned to me just a few minutes ago that Mrs. Gregory will have calling hours there in Bealington, I think beginning at 4 o'clock on Tuesday, and we'll go through the evening. I don't remember the name of the home. Who mentioned that to me? Which one was it? Talbot's. Okay, Talbot's Funeral Home there in Bealington. Is that on Main Street? As you go right through? Is it? Okay. All right, so if you'd like to go down there, and then the service will be at Faithway Baptist on Wednesday. I won't be able to go because of Gerald's surgery, but if some of you would be able to go to that service there at 11 o'clock on Wednesday, I'm sure Brother Gregory would greatly appreciate that. Let's have prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the privilege to be able to preach. Lord, help me to fulfill the responsibility you have given me. Lord, with your Holy Spirit being in charge, I ask that this morning. I ask, Lord, that you would help us to listen well. You would help us, Father, not just to be hearers of the word, though, but doers also. I don't know everyone's need here, but I do know this. There are needs here. There could be some who do not know you as their own Savior. Lord, today I pray that they would come to know your Son as their personal Savior. Before they leave this church this morning, that they would make that choice to place their faith in you. I ask for every believer here that we would have our hearts open to you, for you to do as you choose in us. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that's done. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies, on your bedroom dresser, beside your jewelry box, is an old brooch. It's old, it's tarnished, and a few of those gems are now missing. And it's lost much of its value, but it is valuable to you. It belonged to your mother. Who received it from her mother? Who received it from her mom? And when you look at that, though it may not seem worthy to wear as it once was in days past, it causes you to remember the fond days of your childhood. It causes you to remember the love of your mother for you every time you see that brooch. Sir, in your garage sits an old car. It's not been driven in years. Still has some dents. Still has some rust on the side panel and on the fenders. It's taking up space in your garage, and it isn't really worth much to others, but it's highly valuable to you. Your dad taught you to drive in that car. And later, when you could not afford a car, as you started your first job as a young man, your dad gave it to you. It helped you get life started. Now, someone might ask you, why do you clutter your property with that old car? Why do you keep that old brooch pin that seems little worth? But if you're the owner of that brooch, or you're the one who had that car passed down to you from your dad, that old brooch that's tarnished and worn out means the world to you. That old rusty car that hasn't been run in years still carries a lot of weight and a lot of value to you. That old car, that old brooch, would be worthless to a stranger, but it means everything to you. I want you to hear me this morning. I have an old faith. It's been around for 2,000 years. I have a Savior who, as the prophet Micah said in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. To most people, now listen to me, to most people, my faith and my Savior hold little worth. To them, it's an old, worn out, old religion, and they see no value in it. But to you and to me, who have been saved by the power of Jesus Christ, it means everything. It means everything. I want you to look at one verse here to begin with in John chapter 5. Look at verse 23. That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. I want you to notice the first phrase in that verse. Jesus said, all men should honor the Son. But you know, and I know, that not everyone honors the Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Because let's just be blunt. He's of little worth to them. He's of little worth to them. He uses the word honor in this passage. What does that word honor mean? Well, I think we all basically understand what it means to honor someone. But I want you to hear this definition of the word honor. It means to prize a person. It means to esteem them and esteem them highly. And I like this. It means to fix a valuation on a person. You say, what does valuation mean? It means that you have put an estimate of worth on someone. So here's my question to you this morning. What is Jesus Christ worth to you? Young people, look at me. What is Jesus Christ worth to you? Senior saint, what is Jesus Christ worth to you? When something is valued highly, you know what you do with it? You take care of it, don't you? One of my brother-in-laws, his name is Rod, has always been very meticulous about everything he does. If you were to go into his home, their home is spotless, meticulous, everything is always in its place, and that's the way he does with automobiles. You will never find a McDonald's wrapper in his car. You will never find dust on the dashboard. You will not see his hubcaps with mud. When I was a teenager, I was living with him for a period of time, and he bought an LTD, a brand new LTD. How do I remember the LTDs? Wait a minute. Do that again. How many remember the LTs? Okay. Now, some of you are lying. You have to be lying because you're older than I am. You have to remember the LTDs. I never liked LTDs. I always thought they were kind of a plain car. You know, Ford made the LTDs. He had a brand new LTD, midnight blue. You know, one minute you look at it, it looks black. The next minute, you know, the sun hits a certain way, kind of has a dark bluish tint to it. I didn't really particularly like the car, but he loved that car. And so let's say he's running up to Kmart to get something. Remember Kmart? Anybody remember Kmart? Okay. All right. Kyle, you remember Kmart? Hold your hand up, brother. No, I'm just teasing. So he's running up to Kmart, and you know, if you go to Walmart, it's always packed out. It was funny, you know, we did afternoon service yesterday instead of evening service. So we were driving up the main strip there on Sunday night, and it amazed me. Walmart on the Sunday evenings packed out. Every restaurant was packed out. Every store is packed out. It just shocked me. I guess I'm just an old Baptist that still believes you ought to be in church, you know. So anyway, when you go to Kmart, even up here, you know, the parking lot, you have maybe 50 cars in the parking lot. Of course, everybody's going to park right up next to the building because you don't have to walk far in. And so, you know, I think Kmarts have always been that way. So we pull in the Kmart parking lot, and he goes to the very back of the parking lot, nothing around, and parks with no vehicles around. It's like, Rod, what are you doing, man? There's tons of spaces up at the front. We're going to have to walk a mile. I'm not parking next to a car. I don't want anybody touching my car, and I don't want anybody banging their doors into my sidewalls. I mean, that's just the way he was. You know why he did it? Now listen to me. You may think that's ridiculous to him. He highly valued that car. You know, some men value cars. They value their hunting rifle. They value their boat more than they value Jesus Christ. Isn't that a shame? What is Jesus Christ worth to you? When something is valued little, it's neglected. Now, with my brother-in-law, Rod, when he got a car, and he's still this way today, he's a few years older than I am, he still is meticulous with everything, keeps it in tip-top shape. He just values things. But when you don't value something, you neglect it. I mean, you have seen this. Somebody buys a brand new car, and in 3 months, it looks trashed. They never keep it clean. You know, they move into a new house, and the next thing you know, it looks like trash. You know, they just don't take care of it. You know why? Because they don't value things. They neglect things. I have to ask myself this question. Do I neglect Jesus Christ? Or do I value Jesus Christ? Do I highly esteem him in my life? We as believers should honor the Son. We should honor the Son. Say, in what way should I honor the Son? And I want you to notice in this passage, we're going to read this passage, and there are three key statements that I want you to take note of this morning in ways that you can honor the Son. Let's go back and begin here in John chapter 5 with verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him an authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. There are three things I want you to notice in this passage that tell us how we can honor, how we can value, how we can highly esteem the Lord Jesus Christ. They come from the teaching of Jesus himself. The first thing I want you to notice is back in verse 19. And he says this, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. Now listen, I can honor Jesus Christ by placing my total dependence on him, just as Jesus Christ placed his total dependence on his heavenly Father. It is so hard for us, and especially if you're new to the faith or you're young in the faith, it's hard sometimes to grasp this truth that when Jesus Christ came, though he was 100% God, and nothing short of it, he still chose to live as a man. And we're told very plainly in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what I want you to see this morning. That your mind would be like Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he became obedient. Listen, Jesus Christ, though 100% God and 100% man, chose to live like I have to live, and like Elijah has to live, and like Aden has to live. He chose to live that way, dependent on the Father. Jesus would go on to say this in John chapter 15, verse 5. Now listen to these words. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do what? Nothing. You say, well, I know that's not true because I put myself through university and every one day prayed about it. I've developed a fine business and never went to God about it. I got married. My marriage has lasted, and I never prayed about it, never prayed who I would marry, never have asked God to intervene in my married life. Now listen, you'd be surprised how many people go through life who say they're saved and never really depend on Him. You say, I've accomplished some things. Now listen, in your eyes you may have accomplished some things. Now listen, in your eyes you may have accomplished some things. In your family's life you may have accomplished some things. You may have been rewarded greatly by the world for your accomplishments. But in God's eyes, listen to me, He said, you've done nothing. Without me you can do what? Nothing. You can do nothing. So, if I do things outside of Christ, what have I accomplished? Look at my trophy. You've accomplished nothing. Look at the business I've built. Nothing. Remember, the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, in front of Daniel says, look at glorious Babylon that I've built. And God reduced him to nothing. Brother, you haven't done a thing. If you've done it outside of Jesus Christ. I've done nothing. I don't care how many sermons I've preached outside of Christ. It really counts for nothing. In God's eyes, it's nothing. You say that's cruel. That's reality. You can think it's cruel all you want. That's reality. And you better wake up. And you better get to the business of honoring Jesus Christ with your life and being totally dependent on Him. Because without me, ye can do nothing. Whether we fully understand it or not makes no difference. He said it, that's a fact. Amen. I can't lead a church, I cannot lead a family, I cannot lead myself without dependence totally on Him. Without dependence totally on Him. But brother, you can honor Jesus Christ when you place total dependence on Him, just as when He lived as a man on earth, He placed total dependence on His Father. He said, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He seeth the Father do. Oh, that all of us as Christians would so honor our Heavenly Father that we would say, I can't do anything unless you show me exactly what to do. Secondly, I want you to notice verse 24. Jesus said, it's interesting in this passage, He uses this term, verily, verily, three times. The words verily means truly. You need to pay attention to this. Listen, every person in this auditorium needs to pay attention to what's going to be said in verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You say, how do I get to heaven? How do I have a relationship with God? Do exactly what verse 24 says. Do exactly what verse 24 says. Believe on Him and you'll have everlasting life. You'll pass from condemnation to life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. don't believe in the Baptist church. Don't believe in the Baptist pastor. Don't believe in the Baptist baptistry or the Baptist membership. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I can honor Jesus Christ by doing exactly what verse 24 says. Hear my words. Hear my words. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me. You want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen. Hear his word. I want you to think about this morning. How many have ever heard of Dave Ramsey? Okay, all right. If you live in Bridgeport, Clarksburg, and you happen to listen to news radio at all, you have heard Dave Ramsey because he's on 24 hours a day. He is a saved man, and he is a man who bases all of his financial principles on Bible principle. And therefore, he has helped scores of people around this country, not only the saved, but the lost. And here's a reality. We know this to be true. Even a lost person who follows biblical principles will sometimes find the blessings of those principles fulfilled in their life. They're not saved, but they find those kind of rewards doing things the Bible way. And so he teaches these great financial principles, and he's helped many, many people get out of debt, help people, overcome, a lot of things in their life in the financial realm. Now, let's say Dave Ramsey has come to the Bridgeport Convention Center. You say, wow, man, I've heard this guy on the radio for years. I want to go see this man in person. You go and you hear Dave Ramsey speak. Now, when you heard him on the radio, you were so impressed you bought one of his books, and that book really helped you. And after he has spoken, he's sitting at a table meeting people, and you walk up to Dave Ramsey and you tell him, listen, what you have said over the years has changed my life. I was in great debt. I owed everybody and their brother. But when I started to apply the principles that you taught, those biblical principles, into my life, I'm now out of debt. My family's doing well financially. And I just want you to know, those words that you gave me have changed me. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think Dave Ramsey would feel honored by such a statement? You bet. You bet. Here you are at the judgment seat of Christ. I heard your words. And at first, as verse 24 says, I believed on you for salvation and it saved me. And I've heard your words ever since and it changed my life. Can I tell you something? You want to honor Jesus Christ? He that heareth my word and believeth. Did you hear his word this morning before you walked into this place for corporate worship? Did you spend time alone? You say, well, Pastor, I'm going to do that later today. Praise the Lord. Or I'm going to do that this evening. Praise the Lord. But are you going to spend time alone hearing his word? Is the NFL going to dominate your afternoon? Is some college basketball game going to dominate your time today? Are you going to give God time to hear his word? Oh, I love his word. I sing about it. But then we don't read it. You want to honor Jesus Christ, you can honor him by hearing his word. His word should be so highly honored, so valued in your life, that you make no decision in your life without its leadership. Does this book, his words, guide your decisions through life? I hope it does. The psalmist said this in Psalm 119, verse 128. I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Did you hear what David said? I esteem, and the word esteem means to value or to honor. I esteem all thy precepts, and that's the word of God, concerning all things, marriage, career, I don't care. The minutest of things. I esteem thy precepts concerning all things to be right. So are you doing the right things in your life? Am I doing the right things in my life? If I'm keeping my nose in this book, it will guide me the right way. Because I honor this book. And I honor the author of this book who gave it to me. You want to honor Jesus Christ? Hear his word. I ask you this morning, are you honoring Jesus Christ? Are you honoring Jesus Christ? The third thing I want you to notice is in verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. The third way I believe this passage teaches you and me how we can honor Jesus Christ is this. I can honor Jesus Christ by seeking his will. You know, there's a progression to me in this passage. You first come to the point of saying, I'm going to totally depend on you. Well, it only makes sense if I'm going to depend on you. I got to go to the instruction book that you've given me to know exactly what I'm dependent on you for. And then once you show me from this book what is right, I choose not to do my will, but your will. You talk about honoring someone. Can you imagine your child walking up to you and saying, Dad, I really don't like this rule, but I'm going to do exactly what you've told me to do. I don't understand it. I don't necessarily like it, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to be obedient to your will, not mine. There's not a dad in this room whose head would not do this. Whoop. Whoa. Listen, you talk. He doesn't have to say the words honor to you. You know he's honoring you because he's going to do your will, your bidding. What did Jesus say? I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father. You remember what Jesus taught the believers to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, not my will, but thine be done. What did Jesus pray in Gethsemane? Not my will, but thine be done. You want to honor Jesus Christ? Seek his will. You want God's will accomplished in your life? Well, I can tell you, you'll only find that if you are seeking to fulfill God's will for your life. Listen, there are ways that you can honor God. Listen, you can read the Old Testament, and there in the book of Proverbs, we're told this, and it's still a principle in the New Testament as well. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. That's why we take up offerings here. That's why you hear me preach on occasions about you need to be tithing. Why? Because God says, you honor me that way. So if you don't, look at me. If you're not tithing, you're not giving to the Lord's work, you ain't honoring him. You're not honoring him. And if you're making life's decisions without seeking his will, you're not honoring him. And if you're not hearing his word, you're not honoring him. You say, I'm a Christian. Certainly I honor him. Well, you know, God's people in the Old Testament were his people, but they didn't honor him. When you listen to the words of Deuteronomy 32:15, that Jeshurun, or Israel, waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly, now listen to these words, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. What does the term lightly esteemed mean? He put little value on the God that saved him. God's own people put little value on the God that saved them. Do you value your Savior? You know the term rock of salvation is capitalized there in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and in the book of 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 10, Paul says that the one who led them through the wilderness, their rock was Jesus Christ. Israel lightly esteemed, they lightly valued, they did not honor Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, it's possible for me not to honor him. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, it says this, "Them that honor me will I honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Now here's an equation, and the answer to the equation in this verse, and it's this. If you don't honor God, you are despising God. You say, "I would never despise my Savior." You are if you do not honor His word. You are if you are not seeking His will. You're despising Him. And some of us don't even realize it, that we despise Him day after day after day. Don't have time to read your word. I'm not seeking your will. Listen. Are you honoring Him today, or are you despising Him? If you want to honor Jesus Christ, I encourage you to take these truths that Jesus Christ demonstrated in His own human life and apply them to your life so that you can honor the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. I'm glad you're here. I wish more people were here. I wish more people sang the hymns and the choruses and had corporate time of prayer as we do here. I'm glad for those things, but listen, that's only, if you would, emblematic of what should be real in our life, and that is truly honoring Him on a personal level daily. Some of the reasons we don't sing with more gusto is because we despise Him. Oh, we don't hate Him. We just lightly esteem Him. He's just really not that important in our life. It's an old religion, and He's an old Savior. He's been around forever. And to many people, they see Him with little worth. And how unfortunate that sometimes His own children see Him of little worth and prove it by not honoring Him with their daily lives. So I ask you a question. Are you honoring Jesus Christ? If you are, praise the Lord. If you're not, you can make that change right now. You don't have to walk out of this auditorium without making that right before the Savior who gave His all for you. Would you close your eyes, bow your heads, and close your eyes as we go to prayer this morning. It could be that you need to honor Him by simply recognizing your need of Him as Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. Never turned from your sin. If that's the case, you have a choice. You can despise Him, or you can honor Him. How could anyone ever despise a man who died for them, shed His blood for them? And if you're here and you say, "I really don't know Him as my Savior," you could trust Him today. As a believer, you may be here and you say, "I'm not honoring Him in the ways that I ought. I'm not honoring Him by putting my total dependence on Him, by hearing His word. I'm not honoring Him by seeking His will." Listen, that can all change this morning. And I encourage you, if the Holy Spirit has dealt with you, that you not leave here without doing business before the Lord this morning. Father, take what we've heard, use it for Your glory. I pray these things in Jesus' name. We'll stand with our heads bowed, and as the piano begins, if you need to come to this altar this morning, I encourage you right now to be obedient and come.